Well, I rejoice in being able to be here today. I really thank the Lord for the great time that the Lord has given us being here these days.
Amen.
And I've enjoyed all of the preaching. And I thank the Lord for speaking to my heart, helping me while I've been here. And I thank God for the old-fashioned singing.
Yes, sir.
I like the old-fashioned playing.
Yes, sir.
And it's a real blessing to me to be able to hear these instruments and listen to this group that just sang. I thank the Lord. I guess they're out of your church or some of your son. And I've been wanting to get a chance someday maybe to come here. And the Lord just provided it this year. I was at home this week, and it gave me an opportunity to come. And I want to thank God for the message just a moment ago.
Yes, sir.
And I want to thank Him for all the preaching. I appreciate Brother Joe. I've known Brother Joe and Brother Craig Edwards, these men that will be preaching this week. I've known Brother Hayes for many years. And I thank God for the preachers that are preaching here. It's a real blessing to me to be able to be here with Brother Joe these days. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 107. With the help of the Lord, my heart has to be geared to an area. And I don't really know what the Lord wants to do today, but I know He wants to do something in every heart. I'm glad that God has done a work of grace in the heart of His people. And I want to read a verse or two of Scripture and bring the message that the Lord has spoken to my heart about. If you'd like to stand and kind of rest yourself for just a moment, I'm particularly interested this morning in Psalm 107, verse 23 and 24, where the Bible said, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep." My Father, as I come before You today, I want to thank You for Your mercy and kindness and for Your grace. Thank You for Brother Steve, and thank You for Brother Rule, and I pray, God, that You would bless them and help them in their moderation of this meeting. I want to thank You for the men of God. I pray for the touch of God upon Brother John, Brother Craig tonight, and upon the balance of this week, upon Brother Hayes and all the men of next week. And I pray that You would do a work of grace in everybody's life. Oh, I want to ask You, Lord, that You would fill me with Thy Spirit. And anoint me, Lord, for the service of our God. And I pray that You would use these words this morning that Thou hast stirred my heart about to help the people of God. And I will thank You and praise You and love You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm extremely thankful to God for the good fellowship and the good food. A lot of places you go, they don't have ice cream. I've really enjoyed myself. I want to thank the Lord for the blessings of the Lord and all that He does for us. When you look at this little phrase, they, God's particularly interested in some folks that wouldn't go down into the sea. And these, point us to the fact that God's not going to do everybody the same way. But He'll do anybody the right way that'll come before Him. And the Lord has offered us something here that I fear that maybe we have just pushed aside in our life. I try to really promote the beyond life in these late days. And everywhere I go through the Bible, I find God showing me directions through His Word about how to live in that beyond life. Beyond the veil life is a very unusual life. It's unpredictable. And a lot of folks don't know much about that kind of life. But we're discussing this morning with the help of the Lord what the Lord has said here. He didn't say to go down in a ship. He said down in the sea. Now the sea is where God has drawn this attention. You'll be in the ship, and the ship is what's tossed. You'll feel the current of the waves, but it's the wind that blows the waves. But God has got a purpose for every one of our lives. And He said, they that go down to the sea. I would ask you this morning if you're interested. I want to talk to you a little bit about the sea. There are two or three things I want to talk about this morning. I found out that the sea was a place of trouble. A place of sorrows. And many times, you'll need the help of God because you'll come across places in your life where your life is filled with sorrow. And I think about the sorrow on the sea and the trouble that comes in one's life through this passage. We find in verse number 19, other occasions this verse is mentioned. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. The most part, what the Lord is trying to show us is that the sea divides and separates. I read Jeremiah 49 and 23 where Jeremiah said, there is sorrow on the sea, cannot be quiet. But God is talking to us in these verses about a quiet life, about a peaceful life, about a calm life, about a life that we can have. But no one would seek peace and consolation. No one would look for calmness and quietness until they've gone through trouble. So I notice here in the study of the Word of God that it's big business to go down in the great waters.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord has helped my heart. I've gone through a lot of problems of churches that I've been around, and the things that I've seen happen in these last days are troublesome to my heart. The family circle is broken many times. We walk out to the funeral plot, walk out to the place where we value the opportunity of being kind to someone who's lost the loved one of their life. Heartache that we'll sometime have to face. I was with a great preacher. I've known him, Brother Robert Taylor, for many years, and he lost his wife. He was 79 years old when he lost his wife.
And he said that was the most difficult day of my entire life. I never knew trouble until I lost a part of me. And I said, well, the cemetery is an awful experience of the sea. A time of sorrow like you wouldn't think you'd ever have to face, but it comes our way. But I want to thank God that one day there'll be a reunion again. God will join the home that is parted and divided again. To walk inside of a room where there's an empty chair. To go to the table. I remember going to a house and they had a place setting. Nobody ever came to the table. And I said, ma'am, I'm not being a smart aleck, but I wonder what that plate is for. She said, we lost our boy in service. And we set him a plate. We feel comfortable doing that. And I thought to myself, wonder what it would be like to have to live. God has blessed me. I've not had to walk to the cemetery with one of my children. But others have. And to have to face the tragedy and the trouble and the sorrow-stricken life that one would have to face. Brother Lance Carpenter, friend of ours, comes by and sings once in a while. And Brother Lance, he wrote a song about still setting a place at the table. And I want to thank God that memory is a great blessing. Troubles come our way at the church there. My daughter, she married on up in life. I think she was better than 30 when she got married. She was with us in our home. A delight to our home, a joy to our home. I never dreamed that people would think that when somebody graduated from high school that they were to kick them out on their own. Amen. The doors of the home ought to be open. I tell my three children and their companions, my doors are always open. They have a key to my house while I'm gone. I said, just go there and make yourself at home and enjoy the place that God has given us. I love my children. And I want to thank God for my wife and thank Him for the blessing of a good church that loves me and takes care of me. My daughter, she got pregnant. She's always wanted to have a child. Ricky had two children, and she didn't have any children. And all of a sudden, she's supposed to be with child. And she come to me and said, Daddy, I wanted to make you happy. And I said, well, I am. I'm thrilled to death. I can't wait till that little boy gets here. She said, Daddy, I don't know if it's going to be a little boy. And just a couple of months went by, and she started having a lot of difficulty and lost that little baby. Shortly after that, a man in our church was traveling down the road and some man with a lot of medicine in him walked out in front of him, and he hit the man, and he went up in the air, and he said, I saw him through the rearview mirror when he fell upon another automobile, and they killed him. The tragedies that have happened in our church, the problems that we face. When I was a young lad, I walked out to the cemetery with my brother. He was all that I felt like I had. And his oldest daughter got to him before he drowned it. And they drowned together and they had a double funeral. I've experienced some sorrow in my life. The Lord has been good to me. I was raised by the Father in glory world. Amen. I've never had a dad. I don't know what it's like. My dad died when I was 6. My mother died when I was 3. I've always been a little orphan boy somewhere in life. But my father came to me years ago when the man of God came and preached the word of God to my heart. And God really helped me when I heard Shelton Jones preaching the word of God. And I saw myself and I ran down the aisle. He preached on devil-possessed men, and you're one of them. And I knew he was talking to me. Yeah. And I got saved by the grace of God. Amen. And I want to thank the Lord that he's brought me to his grace and let me know that though there are sorrows in this life, you know, think about all the domestic problems. I preach meetings out on the road all the time. I've been doing it since I started. And I come to this place a lot of times where pastors will sit down with me, talk to me, see if there's something you can say to me to help me. What's going on? I know a man this morning that calls me every once in a while, and it makes me feel bad. All of my children are saved. All of my children are in church, and I thank God they're in the place where I pastor. That blesses my heart. And I enjoy having them there. But as I think about these men who can't get their children in the church, they were raised in the church. They had Christian schooling for them. But they don't go to church any longer. When it looked like they got to that age where they graduated from school, they got out of the house of God, and I don't know what's happening to our children. They seem to want the world. They're so bad they want the world. And I say to you, that is heartbreaking to sit down and talk with somebody that's lost their children. Every once in a while you'll preach a meeting or you'll be in a camp meeting service where the pastor's children are involved in the word. Where the pastor's children, you preach in a meeting somewhere. They're in church there with the man of God. And it's a thrill. Amen. If you've got that great, great, great happening in your life, you need to enjoy that experience. Sure. God has blessed you. He saved you from a lot of sorrow that others have faced. The homes that are divided in this country. Often we hear of somebody else. And you can't go to a meeting anymore. You were there last year. I preach a good many annual meetings and I get back to the church. There's always a new face. But there's always a face missing. There's always a family gone. For some reason or another, they're missing. Amen. They're not there anymore. And I remember years ago, I'm just trying to let my mind drift into, I have no way to preach this message. I'm just going to fool around with it a little while. But I say to you, I remember Dr. Crumpton. I love that man of God, and he came to the Reseca camp and preached occasionally for us. And I remember him preaching this message on heartaches on the road to heaven, and told a story there that I won't ever forget about how a man suffered losing his children. And I say to you that life is filled with a lot of trouble. I've noticed in the context of the messages this week that there's been a lot of a lot of truth about the storm and about the trials. Amen. And I'm not trying to preach on that because of that. That's just the way the Holy Ghost wanted me to deal with this scripture today. But I say to you that God's eternal benefits are there for us. And we need to recognize that a lot of times what the Lord has to do is to send trouble in our life. Now I want to pick up here and move on. There is a sovereign work of God on the sea. God moves in miraculous ways. I noticed that the scripture said in verse number 25, He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. And then it said, they mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. I wonder if anyone's interested in going down to the deep. Well, I noticed that the Lord ordered and sent this trouble and created these concepts of trial. Dr. Curtis McCarley preached the Blue Ridge Camp Meeting. I believe he mentioned the Blue Ridge Camp Meeting a while ago. He preached the Blue Ridge Camp Meeting years ago, and I was attending Fruitland and followed him across the mountains a good bit. And I heard him say repetitiously something that I've kept in my heart. He said, son, God won't use anyone he can't test. And if you're available, you'll suffer sorrow. But God's got a purpose in it for you. Amen. He's not after you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not wanting you to have a bad day. He just wants to help you get accustomed to Him and acquainted with Him and enjoy Him. And it'll take a lot out of you. And I thought about those verses of Scripture that's over in Matthew this morning. I read those few verses of Scripture out of this where Peter's walking on the water. But it said, straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side. Now watch this. While He sent the multitude away, and when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into the mountain apart to pray. It seldom crosses our mind that somebody's looking over things. But there is a sovereign God on the mountain of our life, watching over and controlling the atmosphere. I'm not preaching what I've heard this week. I'm preaching, if anybody knows me, what I preached for 30 years. Amen. 43 years ago when I started preaching, I didn't know a whole lot about the sovereign God. But as I grew and began to see God's work and His control in my life, I was really thankful that the Lord had brought me to a place where I could see it was not in my hands. It's in the hand of God. I'm glad that the Lord has done such a work in my life. I say to you that God has remarkably done a great work in every person's life who ventures to go out into the deep. Now I noticed something here in verse number 26. In the latter part it said their soul is melted because of trouble. Sorrow's acquaintances in our life brings us to a place where we recognize the sovereign hand of God. The Lord sent out His children to a place where He knew they were going to go into a storm. He set it up for them. He allowed them to get into this troubled area so that He could come to their rescue, where He could come to be over their circumstances. God's never under circumstances. And no matter what the difficulties are in these disciples' life, the Lord is there to help them at this time when the Holy Ghost first began to deal with my life. He dealt with my life as a friend. I got to know Him down through the years as the closest friend I had. I found out through the years, if you'll just keep going to that secret place. Amen. Now, Ricky has wrote a lot of songs. Very few of the songs that he wrote will be absent of a word or two, the secret place. Over and over, repetitiously in the songs, he mentioned that I tried to get my children to a private place with God. It don't matter whether they're out front of anyone else or not. It matters whether we can get to God. Amen. And to get along with the Lord and get beyond the veil and get where God can meet with you. And I'll tell you, nothing's more exciting to me than the whole through a sorrowful experience, a troubling time, to be awakened in the night and the call of God to prayer. Amen. You slip out of bed and head over to the place of study and cut the light on and open up your Bible. And sometime, like Brother Joe used to say years ago, spend time with God before you ever read His Word and just sit alone and let God say something to you. And I'm thrilled to death that over these past years, the Lord has moved into my place and helped me and brought great satisfaction to my life. I was preaching a little while back, preaching on the Holy Ghost, and in the middle of a message, it dawned on me that the Holy Ghost has been decorating my life for 43 years. Boy, I appreciate the good decoration that the Lord puts on a person's life. And all of your life, He'll just be there to decorate your life. What a blessing it is when we voyage out into the deep. We're willing to go with God, that God can help us. Look at verse number 27. They reel to and fro. They stagger like a drunken man, and their wits end. They cry to the Lord. I think maybe one of the great reasons why that the Lord stirs up a storm in our behalf is because He wants to break us. He wants the broken wheel. He wants to break our wheel. He wants to get us to the place where that there's nobody else and nobody trying to take care of things but God. If we would just leave God alone and let God have full control in our life, we try to do too much on our own. We're not interested in letting Him have full sway with our life. But the Bible said that they cry unto the Lord. I notice where over in verse number 6, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 19, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. The Lord puts us in places where that we cry. And God's looking for us to cry unto the Lord. How long have I been preaching? About 20 minutes? 25? Okay. The Lord has brought... We get to church at our church. We just... I sometimes start on a, on a subject that'll take me weeks to preach. Let's preach a while and quit. And they know what to look for tonight because I'm coming right back where I started. But I want to say this to you. There is a stillness that the sovereign God gives us for what we know to be sorrows. The Bible said He maketh a storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Look at this verse. They are the glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. If you're desirous of a place to know God, and I would say to you that if you proceed on and pursue Him, one of these days you'll find out that He loves your company. He'd like to be with you. He enjoys. And whatever haven that you're looking for, He'll be there. I want to thank the Lord for the blessing of being able to be with you. And thank the Lord for the good preaching and singing and everything that God has sent our way.